The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
The NCAA softball super regional start tomorrow on ESPN and the app. We got a couple of game ones in the best of three series. FSU takes on LSU at 7 Eastern. Then Virginia Tech squares off against UCLA. And welcome back to Get Up. I'm Ryan Smith in for Greeny. We're coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17 on a beautiful day. Thank you so much for being with us. Got a lot to get to, so let's get right to it and get up with the Lakers. LeBron, AD, they answered a Game 1 Lakers loss emphatically in the desert. Why the big turnaround? We'll talk about that. Meanwhile, in Brooklyn, the Big Three blew away the Celtics, but are the Nets unstoppable? Or is Boston just that bad? And Dak's back with the Cowboys. How about that, fans? Now, what he's saying about his recovery, and how far do our experts think this Cowboy team can go? Another hour of Get Up starts right now, and we begin with the game of the night. Lakers, Suns, game two. Lakers looking to even the series at one apiece. There's LeBron. He's never trailed 2-0 in a first-round series. And there's AD looking for a good game. Late in the first quarter, tied at 10, LeBron. Watch him off the AD pass. The one-handed slam. Take another look. The early statement, he had 10 in the first quarter. Meanwhile, Chris Paul icing his shoulder on the bench. Third quarter, Lakers up 8. LeBron, Cameron Johnson on him, but watch him work. Sinking the turnaround jumper. Lakers up 10. Fans liking that. But ensuing possession, Johnson sinks the 3. Suns down 7 heading into the 4th. Suns fans are like, we're still in this. Okay, just over 4 minutes to play. Again, CP3 on the bench. Lakers only up 1. Dennis Schroeder driving to the basket. AD! The two-handed dunk with authority. Lakers up 3. Ensuing Suns possession. Campaign driving. Layup. 19 points off the bench for him. Frank Vogel saying, I can't believe it. Under 3 minutes to go. Same score. LeBron. The fadeaway over Johnson. Lakers up 3. Just over 2 minutes to play. Bench celebrating, but not just yet. Maybe now. Because Anthony Davis is sinking threes like that. Davis, 34 points. 10 rebounds, fired up, under a minute to play. Lakers up 6, and LeBron with the statement 3. Lakers win it 109-102, evening the series at 1. And here's AD and LeBron on the big win.
This is a must win. And I think we all came out with that mindset, and we was able to get the job done. We stayed poised, we stayed comfortable. We've been in that position before. You know, we didn't overreact.
No matter if you have a bad game here or a couple bad games here, or, you know, you just stay even keel. You worry about the next moment, you know, the next opportunity that you get to be great, and you seize that opportunity. So as you get older, as you get more experience, as you get into the foxhole and battles and battles and battles, you know what to expect. So I have the blueprint. I just give it all to AD.
There you have it. Now, after evening up the series last night, the odds from our friends at Caesars Sportsbook have swung back in the Lakers' favor. They currently sit as minus 300 favorites, while our BPI gives Los Angeles a 62% chance of advancing. Kendrick Perkins back with us to talk some Lakers and this big win. The Lakers bounce back to tie the series. Kendrick, what did you see differently from the Lakers from when you looked at them in game one?
Well, first of all, Ryan, shame on our good people at Caesars for flip-flopping, okay? I told everybody to react, all right? Look, you never worry about LeBron James and Anthony Davis. We witnessed that last year down there in the bubble in the postseason when they dominated in great fashion. We knew they was going to come out aggressive, and they did just that, especially Anthony Marshawn Davis. He attacked the paint. He got to the basket. He got to the free throw line. He was the best version of himself, playing around the basket, making Anthony Davis-type statements on the offensive end and defensive end. LeBron James, classic turnarounds in the fourth quarter when it matters the most. running the floor in transition. Who said his ankle was hurt? Come here, Cam Johnson. Let me give you this step back tray ball. You want to go under? Let me steal the game right here. LeBron James, Anthony Davis, best duo in the damn game today. Best duo since Kobe and Shaq.
And you told me earlier this week, Anthony Davis has to get aggressive in the paint. He was 18 for 21 from the free throw line. That tells you all you need to know. Now, I know you like the Lakers, but at this point, do you expect them to come out of the West? And should they be the title favorites?
Well, yeah, look, they're coming out of the Western Conference. All right? Right now, you're looking at the Western Conference, and a lot of the top teams up there are looking funny in the light, okay? The Utah Jazz, and don't get me started on the Clippers. But, yes, when you look at them, because they hang their hats on the defensive end, that's one thing about the Lakers. Their defensive identity is never going anywhere, anchored by Anthony Davis. And so when you look at it, they held the Phoenix Suns last night in three quarters, first, second, and third quarter, under 25 points. Do you know how hard that is to do in today's game, especially against a Phoenix Sun teams, a Phoenix Sun team that has a lot of high power players that could go for big numbers on the offensive end? The Lakers are coming out of the West.
And you know what? It looked as if during the regular season they were going to struggle, but man, are they back in form. At least it looks like it from game two. We'll see what happens in game three. Kendrick, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Now, let's get over to the NFL and the biggest story of the offseason, Aaron Rodgers. He was a no-show at Packers OTAs, but he had plenty to say about his team in his interview with Kenny Mayne on Monday. So yesterday, his head coach, Matt LaFleur, was asked about the situation. Take a listen to what he had to say.
I thought, just like Aaron said, that was a heck of a tribute to Kenny Mayne, and it was pretty cool that he went on there for him. Aaron definitely knows how we feel about him. You know, how he's such an important part to our football team, such an important part to our organization. And, you know, we're just going to continue to try to work through this and hopefully can get him back in the building at some point.
I like that answer. It's like, hey, what do you think about the situation, coach? Well, that was a great tribute. So good job, Matt LaFleur. Let's bring in our team. Kimberly Martin, Marcus Spears, Jeff Saturday. Hey guys, you know what, Jeff and Marcus, I want to start with you. Jeff, I'll begin with you. You know, what's interesting is Matt, Aaron Rodgers talked about how important it is to value the people, how much he loved his teammates. But as I think about this, if it draws out, his teammates in the locker room are affected. They get the questions. They have to deal with their star not being there. Jeff, is this going to become, or could this become, a serious distraction for Packers teammates?
It's already a distraction. I mean, come on, man. This thing has been budding for over a year. Like, when you look at the general manager, like, how do you not fix it when you got him in an MVP season as he's progressing through this thing? Like, yeah, it's a distraction, man. How many guys didn't show up for OTAs because he wasn't there? Don't think that's just, you know, that's just happenstance. Like, them dudes knew. That's a concerted effort. Oh, A-Rod ain't going to be there? I ain't going to be there either, right? Like, understanding how valuable this guy is to the organization. Cat has been there 16 years. Like, everybody in the building knows him, has a relationship with him. You come in, you're new to the organization, and this thing is all kinds of jacked up. It is a relationship business. I don't care what anybody else says, especially when you're dealing with the franchise quarterback. They have got to get this thing fixed. But is it a distraction? Already it is a distraction. So not will it be, it has already become one.
So, Marcus, I know the guys are probably looking at Aaron Rodgers saying he's got to do what he's got to do.
I feel you,
right? But is there a point, if you're in that locker room, is there a point where you reach, where you pick up the phone and you say, Aaron, we got to figure this out in some way. Can you come back? Is there ever a point where you as a teammate pick up the phone and do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is probably the toughest part for Aaron Rodgers if guys are doing that already. That's the hardest part to tell your teammates. I mean, the front offices, there's like, he created the line. He talked about the line of demarcation between the players and the coaches and the front office, the people, right? But it's That's hard right. when your teammates are calling you, asking you, what are you going to do? Are you going to come back? What's going to happen? Because you got to also realize, we heard Devontae Adams speak a couple weeks ago, his future is tied to Aaron Rodgers as well. Like, he doesn't want to go to a quarterback that can't get him the ball. These guys know how much they benefit from 12 being on the field. So as much as it is relationship, it's also business for them. Like, they get paid because they have a great quarterback. They get paid, those breadcrumbs, four-year, $48 million for Aaron Jones. Aaron Rodgers got a lot to do with that. Not saying that these guys aren't good players in their own right, but all of the situation as a whole affects these guys. So, yes, it's probably terribly difficult for him when his teammates call or people close to him asking him what is he going to do or even asking him to come back on behalf of the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, next up, I mean, if you look at it like Jordan Love is the heir apparent, next up would be him, and he was inactive for all of his games last year. So, Kimberly, let me ask you this. How does the rift get repaired? And if you're Packers management, what's your pitch to bring him back if it's not about the money and if it's about the people for Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, that's a great question, Ryan. One that I asked to a lot of league people over the last few days and weeks. And one I found really funny. One league source said, if the GM is not calling Aaron Rodgers and offering him more guaranteed money and Julio Jones, then just trade him by June 1st because he's not coming back. I've also heard people say they should just cut Jordan Love loose. They should just, that's what did it. Send Jordan Love somewhere and then get Aaron Rodgers back in the fold. I get what the thought process is, but guys, there's a reason they took Jordan Love. This front office believed Jordan Love was going to be the next, I don't want to say next Aaron Rodgers, but the guy who could replace Aaron Rodgers. So the idea that Jordan Love doesn't fit into the future plans of this front office, to me, is short-sighted. And if they were to do anything with Jordan Love, then we have been, this is the craziest situation I've ever seen, because then it makes no sense whatsoever. So Jordan Love, he's going to stay. So I don't see how they're going to get rid of him. They love him
Okay, so Jeff Saturday, let's say you're Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. You hear that knock at your door. It's Brian Gutekunst. He's like, come on in. You sit down on the couch. You're Aaron Rodgers. What do you want to hear from that GM, the guy who you didn't name when you talked about it was all the people that you love? What do you want to hear to make you say, you know what? Okay, I'm staying.
Yeah, I messed this up, man. I'm sorry, right? I didn't think about the relationship before I made moves. I should have had these discussions with you. I realized now, hey, listen, I'm new at this thing as well, right? So let's grow together. Let's show everybody in our locker room that we can bury this thing and understand it's for the betterment of everyone. And Swagoo just said it, right? Everybody understands they're tied to how successful Aaron Rodgers is going to be. So is the organization. So is the general manager, Mark Murphy, LaFleur. Everybody's tied into how successful Aaron Rodgers can make them over the next couple of years. And by the way, they're right on the cusp. If Bakhtiari, their starting left tackle, is healthy in the championship game, I think they have a shot to win and beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So they understand how close they are. I messed up. Forgive me, let's move forward. What else do I need to do? And then check those boxes so we can move forward and make the Green Bay Packers a Super Bowl contender.
Okay, guys, we'll come back to you with more Aaron Rodgers later in the show. But coming up, I got to tell you, it may have ended badly, but Ben Roethlisberger's 2020 should be celebrated, says one of his teammates, and you'll hear why next. And now that Julio Jones says he wants out of Atlanta, what team should seriously look at him? That's coming up on Get Up.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
What does Swagoo say?
G, you know what I say? I say Daniel Jones is a gangster. He lying, G. Look at me today, G. I'm already a beast, so we just gonna be beastie. I call you bro.
Yes.
You are my bro. Are you crying, son?
This is not exactly how I meant for this to go.
Take that and smoke it.
It's time for some Swagoo says he is ready to go. So, Swag, let's start with the Steelers and their defensive end, Cam Hayward. He came to the defense of his quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger. Take a listen.
When I hear the bad mouthing about him being, you know, a not great quarterback, and then everybody's ready to elevate other quarterbacks, I'm like, what have they done? You know, this guy is a proven winner, but yet we're ready to discount him. Dude went 11-0 to start the season. How many other quarterbacks did that?
Okay, so that's what Cam Hayward says. What does the swag say?
All I can do, Ryan, is think about going back to the Source Awards a long time ago when Snoop said, the East Coast ain't got no love for me and Dr. Dre. That's what Cam Hayward said about Big Ben. This man had put 18 years of work in and everybody want to elevate him. The world ain't got no love for Big Ben no more. That's what Cam Hayward is saying, and that's what your teammate's supposed to say.
Hey, you know what? It's a great thing when you're a quarterback and you got your defense sticking up for you like that. All right, so let's talk about 49ers.
No doubt.
Quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo spoke about his situation with his developing relationship, I should say, with Trey Lance. Take a listen.
I don't want to make it a weird relationship between me and Trey. I don't want to do something that's not me. I just want it to happen naturally. You know, it's one of those relationships that it'll come over time, and it just takes a little time.
All right. So that's what Jimmy G says. What do you say, Swagoo?
Jimmy G is basically saying, I can't believe she want me to be friends with a new man. I don't understand why I'm in this situation. And I understand why we got to, like, remain in this relationship a little bit because we in business together. But it's super weird when you got to be friends with your girl's new man. Trey Lance is saying friends, new man. And Jimmy G got to be cool with it and act like it's all good because they in business and they still cutting the paycheck. It's unfortunate for Jimmy G. But that's the situation he finds himself in.
And he's got to do that.
I couldn't do it, Ryan.
I couldn't do it either. And he's got to do it every single day. But I tell you this, he gets paid a lot of money to do it, so I understand why.
He does.
Now, let's talk about this. When asked about the possibility of trading for Julio Jones, Kyle Shanahan left that door open.
Yeah, we're always interested in improving our team. I mean, we'll never just say, hey, we're done.
That's what Kyle Shanahan says. What does Swagoo say?
We're never done. You heard the man. We're never done. We tried to get Aaron Rodgers. We wasn't done. We traded first-round picks to get up to get Trey Lance. We're never done. Julio is out there. Julio is on the trading block. Julio just said, I'm out of there. Kyle Shanahan ain't crazy. He know what Julio Jones is at wide receiver. That's basically what he was saying. He was saying, just watch out for the sleight of hand from the San Francisco 49ers because we low-key been doing it to the whole league for like 2 years.
Wouldn't that be interesting to see him with Shanahan over in San Fran and that whole situation? Mm. All right, so, guys, we were talking about this morning. So I got to ask each one of you, what would your dream scenario be for Julio Jones? Kimberly, I'll start with you. What would be the dream scenario for Julio?
Ryan, dream scenario is package GM calls up Aaron Rodgers, says, hey, do you want Julio? Because I'll get you Julio. All those receivers I should have gotten, I'm gonna get you another one right now, okay? Rodgers says, cool, I'm with it. Boom, okay, so Packers get Julio, and then they go to Aaron and say, hey, can you restructure your deal so we can fit Julio in here? Because their cap situation isn't great. But like Marcus always says, make the money work when you love the player. So Packers, my dream scenario with Julio Jones.
Okay, Jeff Saturday.
San Francisco 49ers. You just heard Kyle Shanahan talk about it. John Lynch, you heard Swagoo talk about it. They make things happen the last couple years. Shanahan understands how to get him singled up. Think about a mobile quarterback. Think about if when Trey Lance finally does take over at the helm at quarterback. And Julio's one of the best receivers at off schedule plays where he can shake and then go deep and ultimately get one-on-one coverage and take the ball off of DB's hands. This guy would be absolutely lethal out in San Francisco. I think it's a perfect fit. Shanahan knows him, knows what he does well, knows how to protect him, keep his health where it needs to be. I think it'd be a perfect scenario for him in San Fran.
Okay, so Marcus, what say you?
Listen, y'all know the obvious decision, but let me give a little fun right quick. Kansas City would be crazy. It would be like the NBA.
Oh.
But the ideal fit we all know is the Baltimore Ravens. It's the Baltimore Ravens. Like this, to me, this is a no-brainer. And this is in the same vein of what the Baltimore Ravens have done. They brought in Steve Smith at the end of his career, brought in Anquan Boldin. They brought in Dez Bryant last year to try to solidify the wide receiver position. I can guarantee you this, if Ozzie Newsome was still a GM, Julio Jones would probably already be in Baltimore, being an Alabama guy and knowing what he can do on the outside. Mm-hmm. And think about what Lamar, think about what Jeff Saturday just said. Off schedule? You want to see some off-schedule fireworks?
Yep.
Pair him with Lamar Jackson. And now you got Sammy Watkins, and they drafted Rashad Bateman. Put Julio in that offense, and the Baltimore Ravens may ascend to that top team behind Kansas City and AFC to me.
The only reason I didn't go Baltimore is just a little chilly there. San Fran got a little better weather, you know what I mean? It's a little colder in Baltimore.
Still cold out there. All right, so let me jump in this, guys, and I'm gonna say the Philadelphia Eagles. And let me just say this, guys, I'm ashamed of myself. I'm from Philadelphia.
You
I'm
sure?
ashamed.
No.
I'm ashamed of myself. But let me explain why. I'm from Philadelphia. No. We need a break after last season. Julio could come in and play. He could help my brother from another mother, Devontae Smith, get his game together. He could help Jalen Hurts. He could bring this team to the top of the NFC East.
Boo,
yes, I am ashamed, but I'm just going to put that out there.
Homer.
I'm sorry. That's not, I'm sorry.
You put a good argument together.
There you go. There you go. All right. Well, the stars shone brightly in the NBA last night. Why LeBron and KD made different statements last night, which might lead to a finals meeting. How about that? But first, a little sneaky hembo time. This one is for Mr. Jalen Rose. What was the last NBA team to win a playoff series as a 7 seed or lower? Jalen's going to chew on that, and we will be right back. Oh, look, he's thinking. Uh-oh.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back now with a little sneaky hembo time. Okay, this one's for Jalen Rose. What was the last NBA team to win a playoff series as a 7 seed or lower, Jalen?
Wow, I remember a couple of instances of this happening. I think late 90s, the Knicks did it in a strike-shortened season against the Heat. How about the We Believe Golden State Warriors against the Dallas Mavs?
That's a good answer, but it is not the correct answer.
Oh,
the correct
man.
Answer, 76ers in 2012, they were the 8th seed. They beat the first-seeded Bulls after Derrick Rose tore his ACL in game one. I remember that, but
That's a good call. Shout out to Doug Collins. I love you, Hembo.
Hembo needed that. He needed that. All right, so let's run the floor. Big three of the Nets had no problem against the Celtics, combining for 60 points and winning 130-108. Joe Harris also tied a franchise record with 7, count them, 7 three-pointers as the Nets go up 2-0 in the series. And then there were the Mavs and Clippers. Luka Doncic, Kawhi Leonard put on a show for fans at Staples Center. Kawhi scored 41 points, 30 in the first half, but Luka, though, would take the win with 39 points as the Mavs take a 2-0 series lead on the Clippers. Now, the Lakers and Anthony Davis, LeBron James tie the series 1-1 with the Suns. As the Lakers win 109-102, Davis would lead the Lakers with 34 points while LeBron finished with 23. Chris Paul only played 23 minutes for the Suns as he was still dealing with shoulder issues. So let's bring in Jalen Rose and talk a little bit about the Lake Show. They were in form last night. Jalen, they bounce back, tie the series. What was the key for you to L.A. getting back on track?
The number one key is that Chris Paul is injured and hobbled, and the Phoenix Suns weren't able to get a basket the last 4 minutes of the game because Chris Paul has been the best in crunch time at scoring the basketball, and they didn't have him. The second thing is mastering the obvious. You need LeBron James and Anthony Davis to actually play like superstars. You can't have them like they did in game one, combining for 31 points. You need at least one of them to score 31 points or more. And that's what Anthony Davis did. LeBron had a big three late, and Dennis Schroeder also stepped up at the point guard position, giving them 20 points. So they needed all three of those guys to play well. But again, not having Chris Paul really crippled the Phoenix Suns. They were in position, but not having them is going to be tough for them to overcome the Los Angeles Lakers, especially if those three guys are going to play the way.
So that's very interesting because you look at this and I wonder, actually, let me take it to the East because I really got to think about the Nets last night and what they did. They took care of business against the Celtics, did it with ease. Both Brooklyn and Milwaukee now hold two zip series leads. If you put these two teams together, Brooklyn, the Bucks, who wins that seven-game series to you?
Oh, you're going to do me like that? Got it. Oh, you're going to put me on the spot already, Ryan?
Well, it's like to.
That,
it's early.
My brother? Oh, man. If I had to pick today who would win a series between the Bucks and the Nets, I'm going Milwaukee Bucks. Here's why. Yesterday is what I like to see from the Nets. Ball movement. Anytime the Nets are going to struggle, because all teams struggle at some point, it's when that they're not moving the ball. It's two passes, shot. It's one pass, shot. It's no pass, shot. Now, when you have three players like KD, Kyrie, and Harden, you can get away with that. But against a defensive team like the Milwaukee Bucks, who can play multiple styles, I think that will make it a lot tougher. So today, I will pick Giannis, Lopez, Middleton, Drew Holiday to upend the Nets if they were to play in the seven-game series. And I'm not crazy. And by the way, I'm a Detroit Pistons fan. I'm the person for public consumption that gave everybody the Blake Griffin stat that he wasn't dunking in Pistons games. You know how I know that? I was attending those games. And so it's great to see him to the left, mm-hmm. actually dunking on people again. And I can't leave this out. One of the most important players for the Nets is Jeff Green. And he left the game with an injury. He's going to be a part of the closing lineup with Kevin Durant. If he's not able to go, that also is going to hinder the New Jersey. I was about to call it New Jersey.
Oh,
the
no.
Brooklyn Nets.
There you go. There you go. It's all good. It's all good. Now, before I let you go, I got to ask you this. What we're seeing from the Clippers right now, I think a lot of people are surprised they're down 2-0. I just have to ask you, are the Clippers done?
I'm not going to say done, right? Because they still have Kawhi Leonard, right? But I can't front and act like I'm not disappointed in this team that last year I jumped on the bandwagon so fast, I picked them to win it all last year, and they got bounced by the Nuggets when they was up 3-1. So coming back this year, you can't position yourself to play against Luka and the Mavs in the first round and lose the first two home games? Like, that's literally unacceptable. I want to make sure I give the Mavs their love while I clown the Clippers. Can I do both at the same time? Okay, Luka's outstanding. Did you see that one leg three? He out there playing like it's easy like Sunday morning. And did you see Tim Hardaway in the first couple of games? He's been on fire against the Clippers. And shouldn't their calling card be defense? Didn't Patrick Beverley, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Serge Ibaka, didn't they tell us that they were a core group of defenders that can lock down with the best in the league? I don't see it. I'm anticipating a long series, a seven-game series, so I'm not going to say that they're done, but I want to make sure I pay homage to Rick Carlisle and his coaching staff of developing a Dallas Mavs team and a superstar in Luka that has the Clippers on the ropes.
All right, so let me keep it in L.A. If the Clippers are out, for you, does that mean the Lakers might be the team to beat in the West?
Yes, I believe so. And don't underestimate the Utah Jazz. Donovan Mitchell's going to return. They were a number one seed this year for a reason. If the Clippers, I feel like the three best teams on paper starting the playoffs were the two LA teams and the Utah Jazz. I felt like the Lakers would be there and they would face either the Jazz or the Clippers. I still have faith in the Jazz. These Clippers don't look like a Western Conference Finals team.
Well, you know what? Ty Lue, Paul George saying they're not concerned. They're going to take him in Dallas. We will see how this plays out. Jalen, always good to see you, my friend.
Appreciate the love.
All right, we're going to have a trio of NBA playoff game threes for you on Friday night. We start with the Knicks and the Hawks, 7 Eastern on ESPN. The Nets and the Celtics are at on ABC at 8:30 Eastern, and we cap the night off with those aforesaid Clippers and Mavericks, 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific on ESPN. All three games are on the ESPN app, so you don't have to miss a thing. Now, back to the NFL and Dak Prescott. He is recovering well from that ankle surgery after suffering a compound fracture during week 5 of the 2020 NFL season. And now that he's back on the practice field, he was asked about his limitations, and he offered this encouraging response.
I wouldn't say I'm necessarily limited. I think we're just being cautious and being smart in the fact of I'm not doing things when there's a pass rush or guys, you know, potentially falling at the legs or so or something of that nature. But as far as saying I can't do drills or I can't do something, I'm pretty much full go.
All right, so he's feeling good, and that is music to the ears of Dallas Cowboy fans. Let's bring back in our team. All right, guys, first I got to ask you, what does a successful season look like for Dak Prescott and these Dallas Cowboys, Marcus?
Make the playoffs, Ryan. Win the division, make the playoffs, and perform well. Yep. Listen, once you get in the playoffs, Jeff Saturday is a Super Bowl champion. Once you get in the playoffs, all bets off. You just need to be better for 3 hours. Things need to fall your way for 3 hours on whatever game day is. But for Dak, with the money comes responsibility. And the responsibility is to win this division because you're the highest paid quarterback in this division and you're the best quarterback in this division. And I get it. Total team
That's
support.
Right.
I know what the Washington football team has done. I understand what the New York Giants are. Two teams that could be very good. But Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys have a responsibility to win this division based on the money that's been doled out and based on him coming back from this injury and them regrouping after a year of turmoil last year.
And then you look at this and you say, okay, if Dak Prescott comes back and he's anything like he's been in the past, at least in recent years, the Cowboys look set from his position. But, Jeff, I want to ask you, if Dak Prescott is not the guy here, if he's not the determining factor on this team to determine how far they go, then who is that person?
Ezekiel Elliott, beyond a shadow of a doubt. Listen, this run game has got to do something to benefit the defense. I didn't say Dak Prescott.
Yes.
I said the defense. I know the Cowboys can go out and score. What you want to know is that offensive line and Ezekiel Elliott can go get you 4 and 4.5 yards a clip. Let's eat some clock. Let's let our defense stay fresh on the sideline. Let's play complimentary football. What does that require? That requires one of the best backs in the NFL to perform like it. And last year, even in the beginning of the season when they were producing crazy numbers on offense, from an offensive line perspective and a running back perspective, they did not play where they need to be. Ezekiel Elliott is going to be the player to watch if the Cowboys want to make the playoffs and then win in the playoffs. He's got to be able to take some pressure off that defense. That's done through a run game.
Okay, and Kimberly, how about for you? If it's not Dak, who is that difference maker?
I was going to say something easy like Ezekiel Elliott, but really, all show long, we've been talking about the Cowboys' defense. The guy to watch is Dan Quinn, because the defense cannot look any worse than it did last year. And if it does, Mike McCarthy has a huge problem, because he waited a little long to fire his last defensive coordinator, bring in Dan Quinn. Like, it's all on the defense. Marcus said it earlier. We know, even coming off injury, we know what Dak is. We know that once Dak and Zeke get together, the offense is going to be fine. It's that defense where all the questions reside. The money resides with Dak, but the questions reside on the defensive side of the ball. So that's who, Dan Quinn, we're all watching you.
All right, and you know what? As bad as that defense was, there's nowhere to go but up but for Dan Quinn. So, Marcus, Kimberly says Ezekiel Elliott's the easy choice. Who's your choice?
Well, it was going to be Zeke, and I was, but I'm gonna give Jeff Saturday some love. Their names are Tyron Smith, Lyle Collins, Zach Martin. Those are the guys. That offensive line for Dallas, the way they built this team runs through the offensive line, believe it or not. Like a lot of guys, look, we love to talk about quarterbacks and receivers and running backs, but we all see the ramifications when you don't have an offensive line. Dial up Patrick Mahomes and ask him what happens when you don't have an offensive line in a football game. And that's the thing that people seem to omit. Like, Washington football team's defense will smother and suffocate you if you don't have an offensive line. And the Dallas Cowboys are one of those teams in the NFL where if their guys are healthy, can at least compete with that front seven in the trenches. So that's the unit I'm going to go
preach
to. Not a specific guy, but those three names that I just mentioned have to play at an elite level. And they've done it before, and I expect them to get back to form, barring Tyron Smith's health.
How about that? Mark is giving some credit to the O-line. All right. Now I've seen everything. Okay. Guys, thank you so much. Now let's go over to Run the Bases, shall we? Let's take you to the majors. And let's start with Mets ace Jacob deGrom. He made his first start since coming off the IL for tightness in his right side and his lower back. He pitched five innings, giving up only one run and struck out nine in the Mets' 3-1 victory over the Rockies. And Toronto snapped its six-game losing streak with a win over the Yankees. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Stayed hot, hitting a major league-leading 16th home run. Concerning news for the Yankees as Corey Kluber left his start early with right shoulder tightness. And, man, Shohei Ohtani, he has been on fire. He had his 15th home run of the season, and it clocked in at 117 miles an hour. The second hardest hit of his career, Ohtani joins Giancarlo Stanton as the only players with multiple 115-mile-per-hour home runs this season, and the Angels would beat the Rangers 11-5. And then there are the red-hot Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw pitched seven dominant innings, striking out six, allowing only one run against the Astros. L.A. won 9-2, and it was their eighth straight victory. And don't forget, you can catch the Dodgers and the Astros on Wednesday Night Baseball tonight on ESPN. Trevor Bauer out on the mound for L.A. Our coverage starts at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific. Now, we all know Aaron Rodgers wasn't at OTAs yesterday, but there were other absences in Green Bay that raised eyebrows. What they were and why it could be huge.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back with you on Get Up, and one of the biggest stories of the offseason, Aaron Rodgers. He was a no-show at Packers OTAs, but had plenty to say about his standoff with the team in an interview with Kenny Mayne on Monday. Now, yesterday, his head coach, Matt LaFleur, was asked about the situation. Listen to what he said.
I thought, just like Aaron said, that was a heck of a tribute to Kenny Mayne, and it was pretty cool that he went on there for him. Aaron definitely knows how we feel about him, you know, how he's such an important part to our football team, such an important part to our organization, and you know, we're just going to continue to try to work through this and hopefully can get him back in the building at some point.
LaFleur having to keep answering those questions. And thank goodness we have Packers reporter Rob Domofsky in to answer our questions. So, Rob, I got to say, you know, there's a very real possibility that Jordan Love could be the week one starter the way it's going so far. How has he looked at OTAs, and what do the Packers have to say about him?
Yeah, Ryan, we saw two things from Jordan Love yesterday that we never saw last year. One was a willingness to throw the ball down the field. Last summer, it was all checkdowns, little swing passes. There were two occasions yesterday, one to tight end Robert Tonyan, hit him 35 yards in stride down the field, and another that was incomplete to Reggie Begelton, a backup receiver, but it was a deep shot, and we had not seen that before. The other thing we saw was some zip on the football. A lot of touch passes last year in camp, little loft throws. He was rearing back and firing, and LaFleur said that the ball is definitely coming out of his hands faster than it was last year.
Okay, so that's a positive development for the Packers and their trust in Jordan Love. Now, on the Rodgers front, have you heard or seen anything around Lambeau that's caught your attention?
Well, a couple of things. Adrian Amos, a veteran safety, we asked him yesterday what he thought would happen, and he said, I expect him to be here, but if he's not, I'm not going to go home and cry about it. He added that, look, we all want one of the greatest quarterbacks, if not the greatest, here with us, but he understood that guys have to take care of their own business, and he would not hold a grudge. Now, here's something that I found really interesting yesterday, Ryan. None of the Packers' top five receivers was at OTAs. We're talking about Davante Adams, Allen Lazard, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Equanimeous St. Brown, and Devin Funchess. None of them here. I asked Matt LaFleur if he thought that was some sort of a coordinated effort, a show of support for Rodgers or something like that. And LaFleur said he didn't think so and that he had talked to all those receivers at different points leading up to OTAs. But Ryan, that seemed like an awfully big coincidence to me.
That is a really interesting observation because when you think about it, coaches want as many guys in there. You don't have Aaron Rodgers, I get that. You're trying to see what you got in Jordan Love, but without your top five receivers, how can you really figure that out? Rob, so great to talk to you, and thank you so much for that information. I want to bring back in our team to react to that. And Jeff, I'll start with you. What do you think of when you hear that news? The top five receivers, not even there.
That ain't a coincidence. That is not a coincidence. Listen, when you think about what these guys are understanding, they just heard him go on and talk about relationship, right? And like how important relationship is. Don't upset that guy, right? Like they understand they've built relationship with him. They understand where he's sitting with the organization. Again, this is OTAs, right? I mean, I'm not trying to minimize it. But at the end of the day, all these guys understand what their role in this offense will be and what role they need to play come season time. So if this is just a picture of solidarity, go with it. But do not get on the wrong side of Aaron Rodgers. If you want to pass later on this season, you better act right.
And Kimberly, it's the very same thing I said to Rob. I don't know how you really know what you have in Jordan Love if the top five receivers aren't there catching passes from them.
Well, not just that. We didn't get to see Jordan Love last year either. It was, because of COVID, the offseason was curtailed. So there's a lot of unknowns with Jordan Love to begin with. So on top of when you come into this offseason, OTAs, and you're missing your top five wide receivers, you want to at least see Jordan Love develop some chemistry with guys early on. Of course, as Jeff is saying, it is still very early. We have training camp. There's plenty of time for Jordan Love, but because he hasn't been on the field much, the more time he can spend with his receivers, the better.
All right, so Marcus, I wonder, when you think about the top five receivers not being there, Aaron Rodgers not being there, and again, it's not that I'm trying to make too much of it, but from a management perspective, from having been on the inside with a team, are you thinking to yourself, maybe this is getting a little out of control? Maybe we got to find a different way to handle this.
Yeah, it's already out of hand, but it's out of hand because Aaron Rodgers is gone. Like, in his mind, he's done. But let me say this, Ryan, and not to get off of your question, man.
Yeah.
I have to say this, though. As a player, I feel terrible for Jordan Love. Jordan Love is in the worst possible situation you can be in as a young player in the NFL, man. And it's because of all of the things. Like, it's not only that management disgruntled Aaron Rodgers. Management messed up Jordan Love's maturation process as well, going through this whole thing. Jordan Love is watching his head coach basically get on television and beg for Aaron Rodgers to come back. He's got five receivers that he needs to build a rapport with because he may damn well be the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers that's not at OTAs. This is not a normal OTA situation where we just talked about Tampa and the vets didn't need to show up. This may be a brand new quarterback in his second year without reps that needs these guys to be in OTAs. And I'm not by any means casting any aspersions on these wide receivers, but that's just not, this is not a successful, this is not a successful route for a young quarterback to be dealing with all of these things that's going on, as well as trying to replace a legend potentially and also play good football in Green Bay. Like, this is still the Green Bay Packers. These fans expect you to have a good football team. They expect you to have make noise in the NFC. I feel terrible for Jordan Love. I just felt like somebody needed to say that in the midst of all of this saga about Aaron Rodgers and what's going on with Green Bay. This man is trying to become an NFL quarterback, and there is no attention to what he potentially has the ability to do, let alone not having the guys that he needs to build a great rapport with to be a good quarterback in the NFL. It's the worst situation for a young quarterback.
Yeah, a tough situation, and if there's no Rodgers there, he's got to come out and succeed with a team that made it far in the playoffs last year. Couldn't be tougher for him right now. Now, meanwhile, on planet Earth, take a look at this. Marcus Spears, juggler extraordinaire, and I had to give Kimberly and Jeff a chance to weigh in.
I didn't know this was show and tell. I didn't know this was show and tell today. I thought I was going to prop. You needed me to do something.
Oh, wait, you were going
to
do that? You can do that?
Jeff and I have talent. I mean, I can do all that, but I have talent.
I wish y'all would have showed it.
And Marcus, I don't know if you noticed, but Jeff can do it with nothing like right there.
I wanted to show it.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. In the NBA, Luka was awesome. LeBron was great. Why the Mavericks and the Lakers made two different and important statements last night. Stephen A. Max and Molly discussed on First Take, top of the hour.